Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Chastity Jones. We're so glad you're here. There are many good reasons to come to church, but the best one is to worship and thank God for his amazing love, shown through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what our church is all about. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio and to all who join us online through our website, zionleesewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast and the bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. The message today is Down in the Muck by Pastor William Klima. The 2026 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you don't see one with your name, please contact the church office. Discretionary Fund Offering. January is the month for supporting the important mission of the Discretionary Fund. The fund is used to offer assistance to people in need. Envelopes are available in the pew or at the usher stand. Please help support the mission. The Church Council will meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 13th, for the monthly meeting. The Men's and Women's Breakfast Fellowship will meet on Wednesday at 8 a.m. at the Nicollet Cafe in St. Peter. The Zion Fellowship is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch on January 28th, following the annual meeting. Come and enjoy several kinds of soup, three choices of sandwiches, dessert, and beverages. Volunteers are needed to work at the event to bring a dessert. There is a sign-up sheet on the table by the entryway. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. The annual meeting of the congregation will be held January 25th, immediately following the worship service. And Bob Brown has a short announcement.
First off, I just want to repeat again, the annual meeting is January 25th. Please make every effort to attend. This is your opportunity to help decide the directions we go for the next year. And it's a very important thing in the life of our church, so please make every effort to attend. The second item is I want to everybody to celebrate a little bit. We have reached our fundraising goal, surpassed it. We had a goal of $150,000. We are at $152,480. Yes! So I wanted to take this opportunity to thank everybody who gave and helped us achieve that goal. The council thought, "God, this is a lot of money. We probably aren't going to be able to do this." But everybody stepped up, and we really appreciate what everybody gave. And maybe during the passing of the peace, after we greet and pass the peace, we give each other a pat in the back. Thank you.
scripture passage for today, we read the story in which Jesus gets baptized. But something about the story does not exactly make sense. In fact, John the Baptist even says that he should not baptize Jesus. Why? Well, first, let's learn more about baptism. And to do that, I want you to first think about going in timeout. Often, if a kid does something wrong, they have to go in a timeout area. Most of us think of it as a bad place. When sitting in the timeout chair, you should realize that you did something wrong and feel sorry about it so that you don't do it again. And finally, when you come out of timeout, you get a fresh start and a new beginning to do the right thing again. And when a person gets baptized, something similar happens. They feel bad for the things that they have done. They want to follow Jesus and do things God's way. But rather than going in timeout, they go in the water. And just like we think of timeout as a bad place, the water also reminds us of a bad place. But when you come out, you also get a fresh start and a new beginning. But this time, as a member of God's kingdom forever. And just like regular water cleans all the dirt and yuck off of you, when you get baptized, it's like God cleans all the sins off of you, so that you can know that God has forgiven you forever. But that brings us to the strange thing in our story. When it comes to timeouts for baptism, they are for people who have done something wrong and need forgiveness. But Jesus never sinned. He never did anything wrong. So why did he get baptized? Well, for a lot of reasons. But part of it is because Jesus wanted to be with us and get down and dirty with us. Imagine sitting in timeout because you did something wrong. But then, imagine you had a friend that did not do anything wrong, but decided to sit in timeout with you so that you did not feel so bad and did not have to sit there alone. I don't know about you, but I would like to have a friend like that. Jesus did something similar in baptism. It's like he gets down under the water with us, so that when we come back up and out of the water, we can also know that we will live with him in God's kingdom forever. So even though Jesus never did anything wrong, he got baptized to be with us, to forgive us, and to bring us into his kingdom. He promises to always stay by our side. And I hope that helps you to understand our scripture passage just a little bit better. Goodbye, everyone.
Good morning. This is a nice looking group of people who've come to be with us today, but I have seen bigger crowds. Are the Packers playing at noon? They played yesterday? Oh my, I don't know what the competition is today. Might be. There's been a lot of that going around. There are four cards here, and there are essentially two requests for our prayers. One is for healing prayers for Glenn Brown after his fall. We are going to pray for the family and friends of Mark Schaefer, who died in recent days and whose funeral service will be held in this room tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We've also had requests for prayers of peace and understanding, especially the people with whom we disagree. Would all who are able please stand for the call to worship? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God, sing and bless God's name.
Tell the glad news of salvation from day to day.
Proclaim God's glory to the nations.
God's marvelous deeds to all people.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, you sent your Son to be baptized among sinners, to seek and save the lost. May we who have been baptized in his name never turn away from the world, but reach out in love to rescue the wayward by the mercy of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The hymn is number 164. Let's join our voices together in Arise Your Light has come. Your light is come, the Spirit's call obey. Show forth the mercy of your God, which shines on you today. Arise, your light is come, fling wide the prison door. Good tidings to the poor. Arise, your light is come, all you in sorrow born. Rise up like infants and comfort those who mourn. Arise, your light is come, the mountains burst in song. Rise up like eagles on the wing, God's power will make us strong. God has come to us in Christ, but we often live as if it made no difference. Let us confess our sin. Let us pray. Merciful God, you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we have remained preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from all sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism so that we may rise to new life and live in grace. Amen. Be of good courage, for God has sent the word into the world not to judge, but to save. I say to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your sin is forgiven. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, let us live as children of God. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with one another. Dolores Lowe will lead us in portions of the service of the word for this morning.
Dolores?
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them.
The psalm that is appointed for this morning in the Revised Common Lectionary is the 29th psalm. You'll find a setting of that as a responsive reading on the second page of your bulletins on the right side. Let us say together the poetry of the promise, the poetry of the psalmist responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and cedars like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forests bare.
And in his temple all say glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Amen.
The epistle lesson is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My older sister kept an immaculate house, and she was also a good cook. But when the evening was done, all the dishes were washed, dried, and put away in their places. She didn't want to wake up to a mess in the kitchen. So when she unexpectedly died 25 years ago, the first thing her husband's grandchildren said to him when they got the news was, "Oh no, no more baking Christmas cookies with Grandma Shelley." Only then did I learn that the December Saturdays spent baking cookies with these grade school-age children were quite the occasion. There was flour all over the kitchen, and every baking dish in the house got used. When mid-afternoon came, the handprints and the specks of cookie dough were barely visible under the scrim of sifted flour. While Shelley was neat to a fault, she also had a wonderful, loud, irreverent sense of humor. It was one of the few times that Shelley messed up her kitchen, and she and the kids enjoyed it thoroughly. She loosened up, got down in the muck with the kids, and told impish jokes. Those children are now pushing middle age, and I'm certain that their most powerful memories of my sister are those December Saturdays baking cookies with her. Shelley could have been an aloof step-grandmother. It would have been the safe and accepted thing to do. But at least once a year, they got to know each other better over cookies, laughter, mischievous jokes, and a very messy kitchen. Only in the first gospel does John the Baptist challenge Jesus when the traveling preacher presents himself at the Jordan River for baptism. Matthew tells us that John would have prevented Jesus from getting in the water because John had a pretty good idea that this man who came to him was the more powerful one he believed God was sending. But Jesus persisted quietly and without pulling rank on his cousin. "Let it be so now," Jesus told his cousin, "for it's the right thing for us to do, to fulfill all righteousness." The righteousness of which Jesus spoke probably had little to do with obedience and good moral conduct. Instead, it had everything to do with playing an important part in the drama of God's gracious action of sending Jesus into the world. Jesus begins his public ministry not by separating himself from sin and sinners who need repentance, though by rank he is entitled to do that. Instead, he does something very humble when he comes to John for baptism. When he went down into the river, he got down into the muck with the rest of fallen humanity. When John poured the water of cleansing from sin over him, Jesus told the world that he would not stay aloof and separate from his sister and brother human beings. When he went down into the water at John's leading, it was Jesus' first way of preaching to the world that God loved all kinds of people in spite of their shortcomings and their sins. He didn't have to do this. He could have stayed, and if Jesus had stayed there until it was time to ride his white horse in the victory parade, people would have understood. Kings live in great palaces and appear on the balcony occasionally, and people would have understood that kind of King Jesus, the remote, mysterious, sinless king. Instead, he asked his cousin John to baptize him. And it wasn't the last time that Jesus got into the ordinary muck of life with ordinary people. He bellied up to the lunch counter with tax collectors and sinners. He healed those despised lepers and sometimes did this in batches of 10. He talked freely with a Samaritan woman who had been shunned by her own community and even asked her for a cup of water. He fed hundreds, if not thousands of hungry people who had followed him up an isolated hillside. He showed enormous patience with his inner circle of 12, who fought among themselves and kept misunderstanding him with a foolishness that was downright stubborn. Time and time again, we see Jesus get into the muck of humanity, even though he didn't have to do this. He got into the mud and dirt of human life from day one of his public ministry. When God came to us in human form in Jesus, he didn't separate himself from the joys and sorrows of humanity in any way. Fully human and fully divine, he took that humanity piece into the mud of the Jordan River and the dust of life. He didn't need to do this. He could have avoided the muck of humanity and human existence. He didn't have to get down into the Jordan River to be baptized. He could have gotten by without dealing with those clingy, sick people or that outcast Zacchaeus who had to look at the parade in Jericho from up in a tree because no one would help him. He could have mollified his older brothers who were put off by his vocation as a traveling preacher and teacher. He could have made nice with Pontius Pilate on a Friday morning and avoided his crucifixion. But he didn't. He knew that proclaiming God's kingdom and sharing the message of new life would upset some people and make him quite a number of enemies. He knew that his obedience to God's purposes would bring his death. He knew that becoming human and following God's purposes meant getting down into the muck of the Jordan River, the muck of the tragedies and sorrows of human life, the nasty politics of worldly power, and the pride that convinces some people that they can do things better than God can do them. From his birth to his death, from his resurrection until he ascended into heaven, Jesus never separated himself from the people whose lives he came to change. He took that fully human part of himself seriously and lived among us as a human being, full of grace and truth, as the fourth gospel tells us, and yet getting tired and hungry and worried like the rest of us. He could have shielded himself from the difficult parts of becoming human, yet he refused, knowing that he could only tell the story of new life and God's kingdom for God's people by being one himself from beginning to end. No getting out of the hard work, no exceptions. If that meant getting baptized with all the other sinners, Jesus would do exactly that. If that meant getting his feet dirty with all the traveling and sleeping in the open air, he would do that. If that included living in the poverty of being a traveling preacher in one of the world's poorest places, he would do that. Telling people the good news by walking beside them and among them was more important than anything else. And it was more important than anything else that shaped his public ministry from day one. That's why he got baptized on that day. A second grade boy came home from school one day in tears about the way the older children, the bullies, treated him on the playground. His mother, a single mom, listened to him share his sadness and pain very carefully for 15 minutes. When he finally calmed down and finished talking, his mom looked at him and said, "I was scared of the bullies on the playground when I was your age." The boy's eyes opened up like saucers. He couldn't imagine this strong, smart, resourceful mother as a child being bullied on the playground at school. It never occurred to him that this important person in his life could have known what it was to be frightened of the same kind of tormentors that he knew so well. It didn't solve his problems, and his mother was still the confident woman he always knew and trusted. But it helped so much to know that she had experienced this same kind of sadness when she grew up. When someone who loved him so much knew from experience what he endured, it made all the difference in the world. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew that he wouldn't feel alone anymore. Jesus began his public ministry by asking his cousin John to baptize him with all the other people who came out seeking to be baptized by his cousin. He embarrassed John with this request, but Jesus quietly insisted, and John brought him down into the river. Perhaps John understood by this time the message Jesus sent with this action. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, was going to go down into the muck with fallen humanity and would never separate himself from the people to whom he came to teach, preach, and heal. And it was the very first thing he did in his public ministry, the first way he had to proclaim that he had come to bring new life to fallen humanity. Right at the beginning, he showed empathy with sinful people and lived the rest of his life that way. He would never separate himself from the people to whom he brought healing and wholeness. However imperfect we still are, may we, like Jesus, show empathy to our sister and brother human beings, be with them in the muck of human life, in all its joy and glory, in all its joys and sorrows. Amen. The hymn is number 167. Let us join our stand and join our voices together and hark how the Lamb of God's self-offering. invite you to be seated. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, you called us to come in humility before you, bringing the offering of our very selves. As you revealed Jesus to be your Son in his baptism at the hand of John, so that we might die to sin and be raised with him to new life, by your Spirit, confirm in our hearts the witness that Christ is the Savior of the world and our Lord. Accept all we have and are, O God, in the service of Jesus Christ, and strengthen us with your Spirit's power in these days and always. Compassionate God, hope of the humble and refuge of those in need, hear us once again as we lift up to you our concerns for others in their time of need. We pray for this world so broken by forms of conflict that people are almost scared to listen to one another. We ask that you bring peace to this world, that we can start to talk once again with dignity and with joy to people with whom we might disagree, that peace and understanding would characterize the world you have made. We pray for those who are sick or injured, who look toward healing or recover from it, especially our neighbor Glenn Brown. May they and their loved ones be witness to your healing power in their lives. We pray for those for whom a loved one has died, especially the family and friends of Mark Schaefer. May they know your love most keenly in this tender hour. Lift their spirits, O God, that they and we would once again sing praises to your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to boldly pray these words, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's Church. Let us pray. Generous God, we bring to you our gifts according to the ways in which we have prospered under your care. Follow these gifts with your blessing, that they would be used to share your love in Jesus Christ with all the world's people. Make us as ready to give to your purposes as we are needy for your mercy, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. The hymn is number 172. Let's join our voices together in "Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult." The light of the world. Let your light so shine that others may see the good things you do and glorify God. God is with us now and always. Go in peace.
Thank you. That means it's open.